Thanks again for listening, and join us in building up the kingdom by sharing Pod Apostle with a friend.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain, The call to transfiguration, the call to transformation is nothing new in religion. It's certainly not new in the New Testament. It is part of the Old Testament. It's really part of every religion that we are transformed. Every person, you and me included, every person advances in life guided by ideals, guided by some goal and some purpose, or we float along with the currents, kind of going with the flow, letting the world just drift us along. In Christianity, this is translated into two ways of life. Either we're living a life of transformation, or we are living a life of stagnation. A life of stagnation. Comfortable attitude, satisfied, so to speak, with the way that the world is, satisfied with the way we are. It's passive. It does not respond, or it responds half-heartedly to the call of God. The biblical description of this state of life is lukewarm. Another way of saying it would be to be asleep. Lukewarm or asleep, it almost sounds comfortable, doesn't it? But when we have to remember what Jesus said about the lukewarm, it's an ugly thing that he said. It's kind of a very strong visual image that Jesus used to speak about the lukewarm. He said, "I will vomit them out of my mouth." I remember saying that to my congregation in the past, and saying what goes along with that idea of being vomited or spewed out, this sense of being making Jesus sick to his stomach. And I said all of that, and a couple weeks later, I guess maybe after she had simmered down a little bit, a lady came up to me and she wasn't happy with me, because her husband wasn't happy with what I said. And her husband wasn't happy with the idea that he made Jesus sick to his stomach. And she was afraid that what I said was going to keep him from coming back to church. But you know what? It didn't keep him from coming back to church. He kept coming. And he was aware of the fact that he was living a life that was lukewarm. And there is this truth that we are called away. We are called up a high mountain. And you know what? When Jesus called Peter, James, and John up a high mountain, there is no easy way to the top of a mountain, especially in those days. Now today, maybe we can ride the ski lift, right? But in those days, there was no easy way to get to the top of the mountain. Even to ride a donkey to the top of the mountain would have been a difficult ride, a difficult struggle. And it is different from stagnant to be climbing. Jesus knows that his disciples are going to face a very difficult time in the future. So he calls them up this mountain, up this climb. And when they climb up that mountain, then Jesus is transfigured before them. This glimpse of the glory of God is given to them. And you know what, brothers and sisters? You and I, we have the capacity to see the glory of God. You and I have the responsibility to experience in some way the transfigured Lord and to be encouraged in our journey by that experience. It doesn't happen by accident. It is a very deliberate climb. And they get to the top of that mountain, and they see the glory of Jesus, and then they hear this. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Have you heard that before? How about this? Read the Gospels. Get to know what Jesus says. Get familiar with the way he talks. Read the Word of God. Listen to him. This call to transformation, to be transfigured, it's nothing new. It is part of our Christian journey. It's part of the life of the Jews as well. In the first reading today, we hear of one of the most important events that happens in all of the history of salvation. And that is the call of a man named Abram. Abram is called by God. And I think most of you know this. Abram's name means father. Actually, it means great father. And he is the father of our faith. Abram means great father. And he is the father of the Jews and of the Christians. Abram was called to leave a place that he was comfortable. He was called to leave the land of his father, to leave his father's house, to leave the land of his kinsmen, and to go away to where where the Father had called him. And this is the way the reading went that you heard a few moments ago. The Lord said to Abram, "Go forth from the land of your kinsmen. Go from your father's house to a land that I will show you." And then later it says, Abram went as the Lord directed him. He trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He trusted in God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. He was changed by that trust in God and that moving out in action. And I cannot overstate this truth. I cannot make a bigger deal out of this than it is. That to trust in God and then to act in accordance with that trust results in a transformation of our lives. That we are transformed by that. The transformation of a Christian is a concrete reality. It is something that we must engage. It has to be part of our life. When Abraham was changed by this trust, his name was changed. I'm sorry, when Abram was changed, his name was changed. I let the cat out of the bag. What was his name changed to? Abraham. So he went from great father, that's what Abram means, to father of nations. That's what Abraham means. And you know, there's an irony in both of those names because he had no children till he was 100 years old. But he trusted in God, and he let that trust in God transform him. This readiness to be changed by God, this readiness to be transformed. You know, in my opinion, in my vision, in my understanding, in my life experience, there are two versions of Christianity. One version that is authentic. It is in color. It is real. And the other is fake. It's a copy. It's black and white, and it's lifeless. Every person either advances guided by ideals or floats along in the current going with the flow. Either we're living a life of transformation or a life of stagnation. Stagnation, comfortable, satisfied, fat, dumb, and happy, lukewarm, unmotivated, so to speak. It's passive. It doesn't care. It doesn't respond. The way of transformation. Go forth from this land. Go forth. Move to a new place. Come up this mountain. Be transformed. This need for transformation, this second way of Christianity, it is active, it is revolutionary, it is restless. It has a restlessness about it. It is dissatisfied with the way the world is. One kind of Christianity is paddling furiously against the current, being kept from being swept down into the sewer, to be better, to help others, to worship God, to build the kingdom. The other floating lazily along, comfortable, surrounded by a culture of death, surrounded by lies, surrounded by addiction, sexual promiscuity, confusion. The level of confusion in the world now, it's gotten to the point where people don't even know if they're male and female. It's insane, you know? We live in a world gone mad. And, whatever. Right? That's not what we're called to. We are called to transformation and transfiguration, to be changed by God, to be motivated by God. He has called us. This is the second reading tonight. He saved us and called us to a holy life, not according to our works, but according to His design and the grace bestowed on us in Christ Jesus to be transformed. He says, come up to this high mountain, be led away, because you know what? Jesus knows, Peter, James, and John, there's trouble ahead, that Jesus is going to be lied about, that His church is going to be lied about, that there is going to be confusion, that there is going to be traitors. There are going to be people that abandon Jesus and turn on Him and even crucify Him. And they're going to need to have the strength of the glory of God in them to stay on the road, to be transfigured and to be remade. So, my brothers and my sisters, where is the mountain in Bay St. Louis? Where is it? Come. Come climb up this mountain. You know, I think we're almost on the highest spot in the whole town right here. So if we're looking for a physical mountain, we're not going to find one. But there is a mountain to climb. The season of Lent calls us to be transformed. And so I'm going to challenge you to this transformation, that you embrace a life of fasting. Yeah, that. Prayer, fasting, and giving. And tonight I am going to talk about the transforming power of fasting, and that we must engage our lives in it. You know, fasting works mysteriously. I had somebody last night after I gave this homily, they affirmed my homily by coming up to me and saying, Father Mike, I don't think they were bragging. I think they were just telling me, really affirming what I was saying. They said, Father Mike, this year I have embraced a rather difficult fast. And the other day I was just going through the motions and I felt this incredible intimacy with God. Something I had not felt before. This glimpse of His glory, right? See, it happens in this mysterious way. See, we are called to fast. We are called away. We are called out of our comfort zone. We are called out of stagnation to something new, a new place, a different place. And we have to trust in God. Now, some people will say, as I said on Ash Wednesday, I said, I hear people talking about fasting from negativity. Does that make you hungry? You know? I'm going to fast from having a bad attitude. Well, that sounds good, but is that concrete? Is that real? Are you tempted to cheat? Do you feel yourself being stretched by that? See, what happens when we fast, and I'm talking about fasting from food. I'm talking about really giving something up and being hungry, physically hungry, and feeling that. And then you will feel this temptation. Oh, does God even care? Is this really such a big deal? Does God even know you're fasting? Is there even a God, really? See, these temptations will come to you, and you will have to stand secure in your fast. See, we can talk about fasting from many different things, but fasting from food and drink, that is the kind of first fast. That is the fundamental nature of fasting. So why do we fast? We fast to unite ourselves to Jesus, who fasted in the desert for 40 days. We fast to unite ourselves to Jesus, who suffered for our sins. And yes, fasting can bring about a little bit of suffering. So we suffer a bit with Christ in our faith. And guess what? And I can't explain exactly how it happens, but it is a transformative power. So why else do we fast? We fast, as I have said before, to build our spiritual muscles. We fast because when we make a commitment to fast, we are going to be tempted to give that up. And so we have to persevere. We fast as a way for praying for others. You want to pray for your son? You want to pray for your daughter? You want to pray for your husband? You want to pray for your wife? Fast for them. Make a commitment. I had somebody tell me not long ago that they had given up something in their life that they really enjoyed, that they really liked, that wasn't really bad for them, but they gave it up as a way of praying for their spouse because they knew their spouse was struggling with something. And they fasted. They didn't brag about it. They didn't make a big deal about it, but they did it. And they gave that as their prayer, their fast. And it had a transforming power on that marriage. Fasting helps us remember the hungry and the poor. When you are hungry for the sake of your faith in Christ, you remember the poor. It transforms your attitude about the poor. Fasting strengthens us against a culture of consumerism and instant gratification. The problem is we have instant gratification, then we have instant hunger. And it's just a cycle, right? We have to learn to overcome that. We have to learn to overcome that and to control ourselves and to give our appetites to God and let God satisfy us. Fasting aids us in making decisions. It helps clarify the confusion in this world. Fasting opens our hearts to receive the grace of the sacraments. Fasting is a way of being obedient to Holy Mother Church, who teaches us that we must fast. So, my brothers and my sisters, come away with me to a high mountain and see the glory of God. Come away. Commit yourself to something substantial this Lenten season and be transformed by the glory of God. You have been called to a holy life. Not a life of stagnation, but a life of transformation. And one last point. Fasting without prayer is just dieting. We're not going on a diet. We're fasting for our faith and to be transformed by the grace of God.